Hey, I've been thinking about something. Jesus said that his followers, Christians, would be persecuted. They would be pursued with hostility. They'd be persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for doing what is right or saying what is right. They'd also be persecuted for his name's sake, for Jesus' name's sake, for confessing him or sharing with others about him. Christians will be persecuted. And it's interesting that it's sort of like a proof. It's an evidence that proves someone's faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus also said, blessed. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, if you're persecuted for his name's sake, he said, great is your reward in heaven. Now, here's the thing I've been thinking about. Why is that not satisfying? Why is the idea that our reward is heaven, why is that sort of ho-hum? Well, like, for example, if heaven was a lodging option on Travelocity, it would probably get 3 stars. Good, but not great. Why is that? Years ago, Hank Williams Jr. sang, it's about time I worked Hank Williams Jr. into one of my talks. He said, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. He was saying, if heaven isn't like the southern USA, I just soon stay home. Why is that the sentiments of many people about heaven? What if we're wrong? What if heaven is the greatest reward?
1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise up first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever.
Thank you, Elena. That passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's a quick download of what the end times are going to be like, how the end times are going to start. And the Apostle Paul, he's the one writing it. The context is the early church. And the fact that Christians at the time were devastated, they were sad because Jesus had promised that he would return. He was going to come again. And their belief was that he was going to come in their lifetime. And when Christians began dying, it just totally devastated them. So Paul writes to instruct about the end times a little bit, and to encourage. And what does he say at first? He says this. He says that they should not be overcome with grief. He says, do not grieve like those who have no hope. You see, followers of Jesus have hope. We have a hope that is based in two general beliefs. Number one, that Jesus came into this world and died. And then he rose again. He was resurrected. Those are the two orthodox beliefs that we build our lives on as followers of Jesus Christ. And he's saying that those who are in Christ, those who believe that, they will rise first. They will be resurrected. And then those that are still living at the coming of the Lord, they will be caught up with them in the air. And then he says this important phrase. He says that forever we will be with the Lord. For all times, we will always be with the Lord. And that is a key phrase here. So what I want to do with our remaining time is I want to give you two reasons why heaven is the greatest reward. I want to give you two reasons why heaven is the greatest reward. And here's the first one. Heaven is the greatest reward because it's something that lasts. Heaven is the greatest reward because it's something that lasts. You know, forever, it's a long time. Okay? As humans, though, I think, and particularly as Americans, our hearts get anchored. We have a tendency to let our hearts get anchored to things that are temporal, to things that are kind of perishable, things that spoil, things that will fade away. You see it in kids. You give kids a little bit of money, and then the first trip down the candy aisle, it's gone. They see something that looks neat. They see something that undoubtedly will taste neat. And so they spend all their money on candy. And at the end, they're left with nothing. It's a quick fix, right? Many of us struggle with our attachments to material things. Sometimes it's our car. I remember about 5 or 6 years into our marriage, Brenda and I, we decided to buy a new vehicle. And I'm just going to say it was the last new vehicle that we ever bought. So we get this new vehicle, and about 3 or 4 years into it, one time I'm looking up in the wheel well and I see rust. And I'm like, you have got to be joking me. And it wasn't just rust, it was stalactites hanging down. And so it just again showed me how temporal this world is that we live in. It may be money. Your heart may be attached to money. Your heart may be anchored to money. But the Bible warns against that over and over again. It says that if your heart is attached to money, be careful, because as surely as birds fly away, that money will sprout wings and fly away just as well. The things of this earth are fleeting. They're only here for a little while. It may be sports or athletics. It may be your physique. As I get older and how it hurts sometimes to get out of bed, I realize that this world is fading away. And I was made for something more glorious than this world. You see, there's a difference between the temporal, which passes away, and the eternal. And sometimes, though, we're confused and we see the things of this world as a reward for our lives. And it's misconstrued. What it leads to when we believe that the material things or the other things of this world are our reward is it leads to depression. It leads to hopelessness. And it leads to many other negative things. There is, though, a way to live in this world that attaches your heart to the greatest reward. And that is what Jesus is saying in this passage in Matthew chapter 5.
Let me read it. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
He's saying, attach your heart to righteousness. Attach your heart to living for what is right, for saying what is right. And attach yourself to living for Jesus' name's sake. Don't be afraid to share who he is. And if you indeed live for righteousness and live for Jesus, it will be hard. It will be difficult.
It will be challenging. But as I say in the tourist industry, the days are really long, but the season is short. This life is short. This season is exceedingly short. So let's move on to the second reason. Heaven is the greatest reward because it's something you share. It's something you share. You share it with the Lord. Remember, and forever you will be with the Lord. Many people think that, you know, heaven, it's that eternal place. You know, there's the pearly gates and the gold, the streets of gold. We're going to be floating on a cloud. We're going to be playing a harp, not sure what song we're going to be playing. And the thought of that is not adventurous. It's boring, as many people have said. But I want you to think about a time. I want you to think about that time when, in the midst of crippling uncertainty, you had an extraordinary peace. I want you to think about that time. Maybe it was concern about the future. It was concerned about a decision, but for some reason you had peace. Or maybe despite negative circumstances, you were facing some significant negative circumstances, but you had an inexpressible and glorious joy in your heart. Now, what's the explanation of that? The way that we have extraordinary peace, the way that we have inexpressible joy, is simply this. It's the presence of God. He is the one that can give us that. Now, multiply that experience that you had in the past by 100, and you're still not even close to unpacking what heaven will be like, what the presence of God will be like in that eternal state. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more racism. There will be no more of that sinful stuff that we endure every day. And your heart will be with the one it was created to be with. Your heart will be with the one that brings you meaning and purpose. You know, I think the millennials and the Gen Zers have a lot to teach us, my generation, the Gen Xers and the baby boomers. I think that we have a lot to learn from them. You know, they are less attracted to materialism, to stuff. The older generations tend to be attracted, and we pour our lives into acquiring stuff. And they love, I'm just speaking generally, they love experiences. They love to go on a trip with people that they love. And I think that there's something amazing about that. I think there's something heavenly about that for us to consider. Think of heaven. It's like a trip. It's like an amazing trip, an ongoing trip, to be with the one that you love with your whole heart, your whole soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. That's what heaven is. That's why it's the greatest reward. So what reward are you living for? What reward are you living for? One story that I think it helps me think through it, and maybe it'll help you, it's the story of the prodigal son. And it's, this application is not about the younger son, you know, the wild son that went off and spent his inheritance on wild living. Let's talk about the older son. Let's talk about the older son. Do you remember him? Do you remember that he did what was right? He didn't run off. He didn't waste his money, his inheritance on prostitutes. He was diligent. He was diligent in doing what the father had asked. But do you remember when the younger son came back? The younger son came back and repented and made amends and was reconciled with the father. And when the father forgave him. And when the father passed that on and invited the older brother, the son here, to come and celebrate. The older brother was overcome with anger and envy. The father said, come and be with me. And the son was self-focused and was disappointed because of all that he had missed out on. And ultimately, the story, that part of the story, is about the older son really didn't want the presence of the father. He wanted the stuff of the father. He wanted what the father could give him. That's how he lived his life. He lived his life to get the temporal things instead of the thing that the father wanted the most. If your heart is attached or anchored to stuff, the stuff of this world, whether it be materialism or fame or acclaim, the greatness of God's presence will not be important to you. I want to encourage you to leverage your life now in this short season for the greatest reward. Don't live on or live just for the rewards of this world. It's important to be self-aware if you are living for the rewards of this world. It's important to repent. It's important to share that repentance with other people that can hold you accountable. I just want you to know this. I want you to remember this, that God is gracious and compassionate, and he will welcome you back, and he will point you. Let me pray. Dear God, thank you for your word and for giving us eyes to see through your word the way things truly are. May we all leverage our lives to live for you, to live for the reward of heaven, and the great reward that we will get there. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
Hey, Pastor Norm, thank you so much for leading us to scripture and also keeping us on mission as Genesis Church. Our church exists for one reason and one reason alone, to know Jesus Christ and to make him known to the world around us. And I think what we just learned together as a church will help us and equip us to do that. And I have a couple of next steps for us as well, based off of what Norm just taught on how we can live out what we learned together as a church in this week to come. So if you're on board with that, our first next step is to repent. That means to turn away from a way that you were living life before, to repent, to turn away from living for anything less than our great reward in heaven. And I think, as Norm was saying, there's so many things that we can live for that fall short of what God has for us and his gift of heaven, which is a place where we can live with God in union with him through his son forever. And, you know, for me in my own life, as I'm examining this past week, you know, there are times that I have lived for my own control of life. And that I can tell that that's there because of the anxiety that creeps into my soul. When I realize that I can't control my own life, when I realize that there's so much that I need to trust God for, or I live for material possessions or worldly success, things that are temporary, things that are just going to pass away, there's other things too that we can live for. An ideology, maybe something that we think that can be actualized outside of the grace of God in heaven. It can't. You know, our world is going to be broken until Jesus ultimately heals us. And so those are things that we can repent of, and those are things that we can grow in this week. And then the other thing that I want to challenge you to do, our next step, is to actually take a stand for righteousness and take a stand for the name of Jesus Christ. He says, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for my name's sake. And so in this week to come, look for opportunities to lift up the name of Jesus, to live out a righteous, God-honoring, Christ-following, Spirit-filled life. Pray every morning, hey, God, give me an opportunity to live out my faith, to claim the name of Jesus Christ, to live righteously in this week to come. And I believe that God's going to give us those opportunities. So those are our next steps. Repent from looking for a reward outside of the great reward that we have in heaven. And then also look for opportunities to lift up the name of Jesus Christ and live righteously.